9 o'clock. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. It's Mav Day today. We talked to CMU coaches and athletes. Coming up, we'll talk with Tremaine Jackson, head coach of the Maverick football team, as they get ready to open up the RMAC part of their schedule at New Mexico Highlands this Saturday, right here on the Team CMU Sports Network. We'll also talk with volleyball coach Dave Fleming. Also on the program today, we're going to talk a little triathlon with triathlon head coach Kinsey Lane. They have a meet coming up at Highline this weekend, so that's all coming up on the program. You still have time to get your thoughts in today on our Qdoba question of the day today, which is, which game from week one of the NFL season surprised you the most? Text or call us, 970-242-1340, the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. All right, it is time to talk Maverick football with the head coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, Tremaine Jackson.
Time to get in the huddle with Palisade coach Joe Romano on the team. Time to get in the huddle with Colorado Mesa coach Tremaine Jackson on the team.
All right, now that we have the ride opening.
They're the same color on my button bar. That's my mistake.
It's okay. Head coach of the Mavericks, Tremaine Jackson. Tremaine, thanks for joining us this morning.
Damn, how you guys doing, man? If I could, hey, I'm trying to mimic Coach Romano, so maybe that's a sign that we're on the right path, because he's the last one to win an outright championship here, so I'll take it.
All right, so you'll take that kind of comparison. Well, Tremaine, it seems like it's been 2 years since your football team played after that win against William Jewell. It's been a lengthy laugh with the bye week and everything, and then playing on Thursday. How have you approached things with your team and obviously keeping them mentally and physically sharp, but this is a long season, a lot of football left to be played. How have you approached this bye week with your football team?
Yeah, Jim. So we looked at, when we found out early in the summer we were going to have a bye week, we made the best of it. You don't really want one, but we had one. So we looked at our first game against Jewell as an extension of fall camp. Normally you get two or three scrimmages in fall camp. We only scrimmaged one time. And the first game was going to be looked at in our program as our second scrimmage. And it just happened to be against somebody else. And so this bye week allowed us to make the adjustments that we, from the mistakes that we made the first game. It had been a while since a lot of our kids had played against somebody else. And so I think it really helped us as a program be in a little longer fall camp to get ready for a 9-game conference schedule, which is really where we want to be competing for our RMAC championship.
Colorado Mesa football coach Tremaine Jackson joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Now that you've had a chance to really sit down and look at the tape, with Brandon Anderson, your defensive coordinator, Braylee Brown, your offensive coordinator, along with Mike Barella, the co-offensive coordinator, or some of the takeaways from both sides of the football for you, Tremaine, after really diving into the tape?
Yeah, we started slow, Jim. We started slow on both sides of the ball. And, giving up a 19-play drive, Coach Anderson was not happy. Obviously, nobody in the program was happy. But we were happy that when we did start executing, when we did get over the sun being on us, we held that team to 3 points for the whole game. And so looking at the offensive side, we missed some throws early. Just, again, not starting very fast like we like to. So looking at it, we were able to make some adjustments in the way that we practice. And when you have a bye week, you got time to make those adjustments without the pressure of a game that week. And so diving into that film, it feels like we've been on that film for 4 weeks instead of 2 weeks, because we've been in it so much. But I think that's going to help us really make this next run in the conference.
Karst Hunter made his first collegiate start at quarterback. I thought he played really well. 302, a couple of touchdown passes. He had 65 yards on the ground. He was named the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week. I know that you were very impressed with how he played. Were the takeaway after watching the film, what were some of the little things that you saw that impressed you maybe even more about that first start from Karst?
Yeah, I thought he managed the game extremely well for a guy that hadn't been under center or in the gun behind the center, as the starter in college. And so I thought he managed the game really well. I thought he took command of the offense really well. Reflecting back, as you're watching the tape, you start remembering moments in the game and reflecting back to being in some of those huddles and hearing him get coached and then hearing him coach people. You could see it show up on the tape. And so I thought he did a good job of just being a leader and being the quarterback of the Mesa Mavericks. And but again, you know, he missed some throws early. He'll be the first one to tell you. And so I look forward to him being able to make the improvement that you normally make between game one and game two.
When you look at your running game, Gavin Herbert, of course, had the 87 yards. Part of that was an 81-yard run and then finished it off with the touchdown. Karst had 65 yards. A lot of your rushing yardage came from the quarterback spot, though. Avion Thomas, I thought, did a really nice job. He had 60 yards and his first collegiate touchdown. When you've talked with Mike Borrello, who's the run game coordinator, if you will, along with Braley, who's your passing coordinator, what was the little bit of the talk about the run game and generating more offense from your running backs?
Yeah, well, the talk is people know that we're going to run the football. We made that known from the very first day I got the job here. I thought Coach Borrello has done a really good job of making that known in our abbreviated season and even in our first game. What we talked about is having the answers of getting people to back up out of the box. If they're going to load the box up, Jim, we're going to throw the football. That's just what it is. We're not going to sit there and bang our head up against a wall trying to run a loaded box. But taking advantage of the opportunities of a favorable box, getting us into the looks that we want to be in to get a favorable box is kind of what we've been talking about. And then whatever they give us, we're going to take it. So no doubt we want to run it. We feel like we've got a core of running backs that can run the football. But when you add the quarterback to the run game, they have to account for that guy. And so I think them having that rushing yardage, I think 140 yards between the two quarterbacks, you're going to have to account for the quarterback. No more can you play 11 on 10 with man-free defense. You're going to have to play 11 on 11 when you play the Mesa Mavericks.
Mavericks football coach Jermaine Jackson joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Flip it over the defense. Remington Green was the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week. He had the 15 tackles and among the leading tacklers in all of Division II football after that first weekend. Demarin Mitchell with a solid game, 10 tackles as well. But Brooklyn Hardeman had a really good game, 9 tackles. Let's talk about Brooklyn a little bit and the performance he had against William Jewell.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that played, you know, FCS football in a reputable Big Sky conference and came over to us, and you think he's been here for 10 years. I mean, this kid has really bought into what we're doing. Brooklyn does an awesome job of really preparing himself for the game during the week. And it showed. He's in that linebacker, that outside backer position for us, which over the years, Jim, we've had a lot of guys have success at linebacker. So it really doesn't surprise us as coaches. It makes us happy that those guys are experiencing the success that we know we can have in this defense.
Mavs head football coach Jermaine Jackson with us on the Team Sports Network. Now you open up conference play at Las Vegas, New Mexico, when you take on New Mexico Highlands. Highlands, a program, we'll just be honest, they've really struggled. They've had some lean years the last couple of years. But with the new coach in Josh Kirkland, they went to Golden on Saturday, taking on a top 10 team in Colorado School of Mines. And I tell you what, Greg Brandon's team, they had their hands full. They ended up winning, Mines did, 31-21. But give New Mexico Highlands a lot of credit, Tremaine. Boy, they played a really strong football game. That game was really kind of up in doubt until about a minute 49 left to go in the football game.
Yeah, you know, I've known Coach Kirkland for a little bit. Got a chance to coach against him at another place, and he was a high school coach in the state of Texas. He's always had his teams ready to go. That wasn't surprising to me. They're a talented football team. He's recruited really well. We're going to have to go down there and have our shoes laced up and have our tape real tight and be ready to play a football game completely. And so they did. They had Mines on the ropes there for a little bit. A lightning delay kind of got involved in that. But no doubt they're talented. No doubt they're well-coached and well-prepared. And we'll look to go down there and get into a good battle with them.
As you mentioned, Coach Kirkland in his first year as the coach at New Mexico Highlands, he coached previously at Incarnate Word in Texas, assistant head coach and running backs coach there. So he's, you know, obviously coached in Texas. You mentioned a high school level as well, has had some success. Mm-hmm. What is a Josh Kirkland team? What is it, since you know him a little bit, what does that look like when we're talking about Highlands and how they look in 2021?
Yeah, I think offensively they're going to try to take the top off the defense and be explosive and take shots. He got a really good quarterback, number 10, and he can throw the football extremely well. I think when you look at their receiving core, they've got some guys that can run at receiver. and Kit. And so they're gonna try to take the top off the defense and make explosive plays happen from an offensive standpoint. And defensively, they're gonna be hard nosed starting up front. Now, you know, watching them, they've got the same formula that we have: be really good up front, try to be really good on the back end, and have guys inside to make tackles. And so that's what I see when I watch the tape. And I think no doubt it's gonna be a long bus trip and a long battle, and then hopefully the Mesa Mavericks can come out on top to get the conference play started out the right way.
Yeah, the quarterback you're referencing, the senior Ramon Atkins, who was at Alcorn State, 230, three touchdowns, no interceptions in that loss to Cutler School of Mines. And looks like the Cowboys going to share something with your Mavericks, Tremaine. A lot of depth at wide receiver. He threw to six different targets in that game with C.J. Sims leading the way. Seven catches, 114 yards. He had caught a couple of those touchdown passes from Ramon Atkins, but it looks like they have a very deep receiving core.
They do. They do. It's one of the deeper ones that I've seen outside of us, and they've got big targets, too. I mean, C.J. Sims is a smaller kid that can really run, got behind Mines and Fort Lewis a couple of times, both in the two games that they played. And, you know, they've got some other kids that are bigger targets that can run as well. So it'll be a tall task for our defensive back group, which, you know, we put a lot of stock in those guys around here. We feel like we're pretty good on the back end. And so it'll be a good test for us. We'll be able to find out where we are as a program. Obviously, we want to make the improvements that we need to make from game one to game two. But we're solely focused on these guys and look forward to getting after it.
Colorado Mesa football coach Tremaine Jackson with us on the Team Sports Network. Flip it to the defensive side where they had some really good performances. Roderick Woods, Terrence Jackson, they both had 11 tackles apiece on the defensive side. On film, what are you seeing in regard to the Cowboys' defense?
Yeah, they look similar to the Mesa Mavericks, honestly. You know, they're big up front. They got two really good ends and one really good inside guy, number 44. At that inside backer, they've got tackling machines. Those guys, number zero, or I think you said Roderick Woods earlier, he makes a lot of tackles for them in the box, and they look to stop the run game and force you to be one-dimensional. And so our offensive line versus their defensive line, our running backs versus their linebackers, our receivers versus their DBs, is one-on-ones across the board. And we've got to be able to come out on top and win more of those than we lose.
From an injury standpoint, relatively healthy, I would assume so, after it didn't seem like there were too many guys hurt in the William Jewell game, and obviously some extended time here for guys to recover if they were a little bit nicked up.
Yeah, I think we're really healthy for the most part, and surprisingly really healthy, because we had a pretty physical fall camp, and then the first game I thought was really physical. And you know, again, Jim, guys are ready to go. There's a different feel when you see our guys on campus. There's a different feel when people see them in the community. Our kids want to play football. We want to prove that we belong. And so it's been exciting. We're ready to go on this 9-game run. There's no more Saturdays off. I don't get to sit at home and watch college football on Saturdays anymore. For the next 9 weeks, we got to go get it. And so hopefully it's 9-plus, but we'll start with this one. This program has won 474 football games. We look to try to get number 475 on Saturday, and it'll be fun and exciting. So I hope a lot of folks tune in.
One final question for you. You did have the luxury last year of going to Black Hills State and in the three-game schedule of actually getting a road game in. How beneficial was that for you, Tremaine, to be able to go on the road with your guys and kind of get that experience last year leading up to this being your first road game of the season of 2021?
Yeah, I think that was invaluable. Just seeing how we travel, what we wear, what we don't wear, how we get on and off the bus, the details in which that our program travels in, I think was invaluable. Our seniors know what to do. We know how to get on the bus. We know when to grab our food. There's so many intricate details about a program and when a program travels that you don't get unless you travel. And so we were able to travel, make those corrections. Jim, we were able to get a little Popeyes on the way back. So hopefully we can do that again just as a little reward, because I love Popeyes. So just to show our kids, when you do good things happen to you. And so I'm looking forward to traveling. As much as I love being at home, I love taking this program on the road. and getting our kids out there and some different experiences. So it'll be fun. We'll get up early Friday morning and get out of here and try to win the football game, Jim, and get on back. And by the way, Jim, I love when you guys play the fight song to start this off. The fight song is like my song. And so I listen to that in the morning on the way in.
All right. Very good. Well, we're always going to play it if the, you know, when it's Mav Day for you, Coach Jackson. It'll always be played for you. And I tell you what, we're a man after my own heart. I do enjoy the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is fantastic, but the Popeyes one, that's something pretty special too. That's on everybody's all-star list.
That's it. We look forward to it.
All right. Jermaine, appreciate the time. Of course, we'll have the game this Saturday, pregame at 11 with the Maverick Stampede pregame show. Noon kick from Las Vegas, New Mexico. The Mavericks open up conference play at New Mexico Highlands. Jermaine, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Go Mavs.
Go Mavs. Take care. Jermaine Jackson, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team.
Now, don't sleep on the half-pound box of shrimp at Popeyes either.
That's some good stuff, too.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they do with their tartar sauce, but it's really good. I'm a big fan, obviously.
It's magical, isn't it?
I mean, even if I were smaller, I'd be a big fan.
All right, 9:16, Dave Fleming, Colorado Mesa volleyball coach, coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk with him. Mavericks off to a great start in 2021 after being nationally ranked last year and winning the RMAC title. So Dave Fleming coming up in just a little bit. Text or call us today. The most surprising game from week one, and there was a lot of them. Green Bay losing to New Orleans. Arizona going into Tennessee and getting a very convincing win. You also had last night the Raiders finding a way to get it done in overtime to beat Baltimore last night. One of the favorites in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. So text or call us 970-242-1340. Let's see. Mike from Scottsdale, great song, The Magic of Rick Rubin on
the Metallica tune. He also put in honorable mention for Hurt by Johnny Cash.
A lot of the Johnny Cash cover stuff was really good.
Yeah. I like that song, Personal Jesus from Depeche Mode.
And
I like the Cash cover better than the Nine Inch Nails original.
I agree. Yeah, I think it is a better song. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the cover stuff that Johnny Cash did
was great.
Was just, yeah, phenomenal. All right, 9:18, Dave Fleming, coach of the CME volleyball team, will join us next. Still time to text or call in today. I'd love to hear from you on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Get in the locker room with Colorado Mesa Sports. This is Mav Day on The Team.
And we turn our focus to the Colorado Mesa volleyball team. Dave Fleming, head coach of the Mavericks, joins us. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Always great to talk with you. And your team, number 22 in the nation, off to another sensational start, picking up where you left off from the spring schedule. 3-0 weekend when you played recently at the Midwestern State University Hampton Inn Invitational. So played some really good competition there. Guy went over Arkansas Tech, also Eastern New Mexico. So a good weekend for your team at Wichita Falls, Texas.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. We got those important regional wins when it comes to NCAA selection time. So, yeah, it was a good weekend. Texas A&M Kingsville had to drop out because of COVID. So that would have been nice to play them, but overall it was a good weekend.
Well, against Arkansas Tech, you had four different players that had 12 or more kills. Ty Wedhorn and freshman Sydney Leffler, they were the leaders there with 14 kills apiece. Both those players had really outstanding efforts against Arkansas Tech.
Yeah, they did. They actually were named all-tournament after the tournament was finalized. But, so they both had a really good weekend. Ty's Glenwood Springs kid, so she's a local kid, so it's always great to see her have success. And then Sydney's a freshman, so both of those kids weren't part of the picture last year when we were ranked third in the country, so it's nice to see new kids stepping up.
And a familiar name, Savannah Spitzer. She had 12 kills. Holly Schmidt also had 12 kills. So Savannah and Holly had a good effort against Arkansas Tech as well.
Yep, they did. They're doing what they did last year. So they've kind of been rocks for us all year, along with Kirsten Lehman at libero position, Sabrina Vandalis, et cetera. So, you know, we're in a good spot. We got Metro coming in on Thursday, who's really good. They had a great weekend as well, so it will be a fun match, and supposedly the stands are going to be full. So
should be a fantastic environment over at Brownson Arena for that one coming up on Thursday for the Mavericks. Dave Fleming, the coach of the Colorado Mesa volleyball team, with us. We don't talk about liberos a lot, but we should talk about yours. Kirsten Lehman had a season and match-high 21 digs during that match with Arkansas Tech. And talk about her a little bit and the season she's had.
Yeah, she's really good at what she does. And if you don't know, liberos are basically responsible for first contact. So that's serve, receive, and digging. And she's kind of been a rock for us. If you don't get the ball off the floor, there's not much you can do. And she doesn't get enough credit for what she does because she's so good at it. You kind of take it for granted, but we need to let her know more often that she's really good at what she does, and I think the rest of the RMAC recognizes that as well.
Dave Fleming, coach of the CMU volleyball team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And Dave, you also had the win against Eastern New Mexico, and we do want to acknowledge what your setter Sabrina Vandalis did in regard to that. Your team out-hit the Greyhounds throughout that match. But Vandalist had a career-high 42 assists, so watershed moment for her, I should say, in that win against Eastern New Mexico.
Yeah, she also had a good weekend, and she made all-tournament the weekend before at the Ordinger tournament, so she's been playing really well for us. We felt like we had to go to a 5-1 offense, which means she gets to play all rotations this year just so we can improve our passing. And she's kind of embraced it and done a really good job for us and, you know, finds the right hitters at the right time.
Dave Fleming, coach the CMU volleyball team, joining us up next for the Mavericks at home when they take on Metro State Thursday night at 6 o'clock. And like you mentioned, Dave, you're excited to have all those fans at Brownson Arena for that matchup coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, we had some fans in the spring, but I think a lot of people were just kind of scared of the virus and what being in the gym was going to look like. But, you know, hopefully a lot of the students come out and the community comes back out and supports us. So, yeah, it's always great to play in Brownson. I think we have the best home crowd in the RMAC, and so hopefully they show up on Thursday night.
You mentioned Metro State. Give us a scouting report on the Roadrunners.
You know, they're basically the same team. They have a couple new kids as well, a new setter. They run a 6-2 offense, but they're just very solid. They have one of the better players in the RMAC in Eveline Lay. It's her name. She's one of the right sides. So they're going to be definitely a challenge. They beat the number one team in the country at home last weekend, so they're going to be really tough. But we knew that. We knew that even before the weekend, and we always look forward to playing Metro. It's always a battle.
So get out Thursday night. Support the Maverick volleyball team, nationally ranked, taking on Metro State. Always a great RMAC rivalry matchup with the Roadrunners. 6 o'clock for that at Brownson Arena. Get your tickets over at the CMU Athletics website. Dave, always appreciate it. Best of luck against Metro coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Dave Fleming, coach of the CMU volleyball team. All right, 9:26. Most surprising game from week one of the NFL. What makes your list on that? And also, if you want to comment on our pole dancing, top five NFL, top five college football, and our top five covers. By the way, when does the Blacklist album come out? The
last week.
Like, so
it came out Friday.
So it came out. Okay.
Yep.
So I wasn't unsure if it had yet to drop yet.
It
or
is
not,
available so. Now for physical copies or on all of your streaming services.
Okay. Very good. I will have to check it out. I've still been mm-hmm. listening to the Iron Maiden Shin Jitsu album quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I'll have to.
Got probably a couple weeks left of that because that second side is long.
It's long.
It's good.
And I exchanged some texts with our colleague Buffalo Mark about it. He wasn't sure he liked it that much at first, but I think it's kind of grown on him.
He's very contrarian, so when it comes out with very good reviews, he's like, yeah, it's not that good. But if it was a garbage album, he would probably be holding a parade on the Redlands.
Well, you played Writing on the Wall, which is a really good mm-hmm. song off that album.
Yeah, Hell on Earth is really good.
I like Lost in a Lost World,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a funky... Kind of, it sounds like
it's
it would be. It sounds
yeah.
like it'd be a Spinal Tap name for a song, right?
Yeah,
it does. It's
a Lost World.
It's kind
does.
Of. It's kind of a stupid sounding name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
And like
Jutsu is great. Stratego is great.
Which anytime you name it after a board game,
it has to be good.
It's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, I look forward to their next single, Operation.
And of course, the follow up, Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Yes.
Hungry, hungry hippos. Ah.
That's Metallica. That's more James Hetfield than Bruce.
I'm sorry, went a little. I can only do the kind of a Hetfieldish thing,
though.
Yeah,
you can only do Hetfield.
I can't even. I'm not even going to try to do. Try to do Dickinson. Even now, even though maybe the voice isn't what it once was for Bruce, guy's still got great pipes.
He does.
Well, same with Halford, too, Priest.
Yeah.
Let's see. Matt, biggest NFL surprise. Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars lose, and it's been 48 hours, and Urban has not resigned yet. Ooh.
For health reasons?
Yeah. Let's see. Efren, who is our resident Las Vegas Raiders fan, that referring to Robert's text about being unhappy with the Packers and hoping the Lions win the NFC North. Robert sounds like the Bronco fans that when they have a bad season, they starve. They starve each other, burning their jerseys. They start burning. They start burning their jerseys for putting them out for a yard sale.
Yep. He's not wrong there.
You lost week one. And he's right about that. Some Bronco fans say this. They lose their minds.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite Bronco fan era, I guess, was from Orton to Manning. Because it went from, we need Tebow, to, I'm no longer going to cheer for this team. They got rid of Tim Tebow. To, they lose one game in October, and they're 9-1. It's like, they're still my team. I'm still with them. And then they win the Super Bowl, and the guy that was never going to cheer for them again because they got rid of Tebow, like, paints his house orange with
he's
blue
like, yeah,
shutters.
This guy's Manning jersey on.
Throwing on the new stickers, which he also said he was never going to buy on his car. Those are my favorites. That's my favorite Broncos era. Is the I'm never going to cheer for this team again, too. How about those Broncos, huh? 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. They're still my team. They went 13-3. Calm down.
And I never got that. And it's not a hatred of Tim Tebow. I never hated Tim.
I'm still going to love him. They're 12-1. Settle down.
You know that only one team ever has won every single game in their season all the way to the Super Bowl. 72 Dolphins, yeah. Those angry old men. Of Larry Zonka and Greasy.
Oh, they're still so bitter.
Mercury Morris. They're still, anytime, like last year, 11-0, Steelers. Moment they lose, crack the champagne, boys.
Yep.
We're still the Kings.
And as cheap as those guys are, it's the same champagne every year. They just put the cork back. Mercury Morris just corks it back up, puts it back in the fridge.
Just take a swig.
Yeah.
It's some cooked champagne. You know, they bought at the liquor store.
$11 a bottle.
Whoa. We spent $11 on that. Let's settle down here. Okay?
You better get a sponge and sop that up.
Everybody gets a sip. Just one sip. Up.
That's two sips,
Larry. Larry. That was a three sipper, Larry.
You owe me a dollar, Larry. That's way too much of my
way
campaign.
Too much. Yeah,
but Efren does have a point there.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, Bronco fans will lose their mind if they, when Denver was great, they would lose a game and you would swear, I'm still with them.
Yeah.
You realize they're 9-1, right?
Right. Like that was some big challenge of fandom, to stay with your team after they lost an overtime game while being 12-2. Oh, man, I'm jealous of your fandom.
Stay on the course with my boys. Oh, and the Tebow thing just still kills me.
Yeah.
It's like, because to this day, we have a running joke with one of the people we work with here. That, and it's now very tongue-in-cheek, but for a while there, it was kind of serious.
It was very serious.
And I had to be the one that told him that the Jags cut Timmy the other, a couple weeks ago.
Right. That was probably a good day.
Like, what? I go, did you buy that Tim Tebow Jags jersey just yet?
To go with your Tebow Jets jersey?
I was thinking about him, like, well.
Your Pats jersey.
Save yourself
Eagles
some money.
Your Eagles and Mets jersey.
Yeah, save yourself some money. Whatever Mets minor league team that teams that he played
a
for.
Framed Binghamton Mets jersey.
Yeah, thank you, the Binghamton Mets, yes.
The Port St. Lucie Mets.
I'd never experienced a situation where people lost their minds when Denver parted ways with him.
Yeah.
I still don't get that. You know they're getting paid Manning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even Peyton Manning at 55% was going to be more successful at the quarterback spot than Timmy Tebow at 100%.
There were people that said to my face, the Broncos will never win another game after they cut Tim Tebow. And those same people did the T.O., that's my quarterback, when Peyton Manning threw for 55 touchdowns.
Oh,
it's like 18 months later.
Stupid.
It's just way to stick to your conviction. Can't even spit it out. Hilarious.
Okuwegbunam. Yeah.
Way to stay strong. They're
yeah, way to hold tight. Way to hunker down.
Yeah. They're never going to win another game. Look at my five new Manning jerseys. I got the blue. I got the orange.
White. But you said that he was done, and it was why Denver getting rid of their future with Tim to bring him in.
If he gets it wrong, his head may just fall off his neck. That's my quarterback.
Oh. Shaking my head.
There are some Broncos fans I run into. And again, this is not the entirety of Broncos fans. This is a loud, idiotic minority of
Bronco fandom.
Most Broncos fans are, you know, real chill. But there are some that, when talking to me, about the Broncos, do you know how long we've been bad? Like, settle down there, Jimbo. Not you specifically, but settle down there, Skippy.
Yeah, thank you, Skippy, because I've never said that to you.
Don't talk to me about your team being bad for 5 years.
I remember the stretch where it was, we're 8-8 again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, chill out. I remember as a child how bad the Broncos were.
Yeah.
If they could get to 7 wins, it was an absolute miracle.
You made the playoffs at 8-8 a year after we went 10-6 and did not.
Yeah.
So
shut up.
We for went my, 1-31.
My fan base, I apologize at times for a certain faction of our fan base.
Over the span of 17 months, we won one game.
Well, it's
Don't talk to me about how bad you've been the last 5 years.
Jim and the Buckeye Boy today on the Team Sports Network. It's like some of the stuff with Drew Locke.
Yeah.
People lose their mind. Oh, how could they star Bridgewater over him? How could they do it?
Do you need me to run back the game film from Sunday?
Do you want to watch what happened Sunday? They won a football game. Yeah, I get it. The Giants aren't great, but they went there. They won. Bridgewater played extremely well. End of conversation. Yeah.
And there is no unanimity among the fan base. There's no uniformity of, all right, everybody's behind TB5, as I've been calling it. There's not, because there's some, even Drew Locke would have won that game, and there's some, Teddy Bridgewater, Super Bowl 51 champs.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. Slow down.
Whoa, whoa. Let's settle
down. I appreciate the positivity. I do. But
he played really well Sunday.
Super Bowl MVP.
Let's settle down.
He's going to love Sin City and wherever it is.
And look at if he plays great against the Jags, which I would like to think he will, and hopefully he will.
You're going to get the same thing. Even Drew Locke could have beat the Jags.
You're going to get that, or Teddy Bridgewater is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's a top three quarterback. No, settle down. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. Okay. You beat Denver. They beat the Jags.
Yeah.
You know, knock on wood. You beat the Jags. Okay. Settle down. You just beat the Giants. They're a work in progress. Yep.
Take a breath.
Let's
take a deep knee bend and chill out.
Calm down.
But like Kansas City, they have big worries about their defense, but Patrick Mahomes can get it done. That's essentially about 95% of the fan base. Browns fans, it's Baker shouldn't have made that throw, but he is taking that next step, it looks like. It's about 95% of the fans that I've seen. Broncos, it's like 60% is, all right, Super Bowl baby, Super Bowl or bust, and 40% is, well, Drew Locke could beat these teams too. It's like, man, alive.
But guess what?
He's not.
He's not, because he didn't win the starting job.
Yeah.
That's how that stuff works.
That's just the loud vocal minority.
Yeah.
Most Broncos fans are like, whew, one done. But they're not saying anything. They're not on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, on social media. Because they're rational.
I mean,
There's a lot of them.
Since we're talking about irrational fans, I'm not going to name names. I'm not. Because I saw it on Facebook. And I like this guy a lot. He's doesn't come on the show like he used to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it there. But he made
Is
a
his
comment.
His name Ruffalo Shark. Does it rhyme with Ruffalo Shark?
Ruffalo Shark. No.
Okay.
Does not. I didn't think about like Ruffalo Shark. Mark Ruffalo. But I mean, he wasn't in Jaws. He wasn't even born yet. Probably wasn't born. No. Somebody, it's a caller that's contributed before, and we don't hear from him like we used to. We like to poke a lot of fun at him. I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah.
He made a comment on Facebook about the Chiefs. Probably tipping tipping my hand, I should say, about how unfair it was last year, how the Chiefs' offensive line was so beat up. You know, they lost Schwartz, and they lost Fisher.
How unfair it was to make them play the game.
And Tampa Bay went out, and how lucky Tampa Bay was throughout the season. And I just went, oh, please, really? You got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And yes, you lost.
You've been an AFC finalist the last 3 years.
You only play, number one, Bucks can only play who they play.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs can only play who they play. They can only play the players that are healthy on the field at that time. And so, yeah, if you would have been healthy, if your line would have been healthy, maybe it's a different outcome. But guess what? They weren't.
You want to know who's lucky last year? The Chiefs. The fumble into the end zone, that stupid rule. Yeah. Otherwise, the Browns had them.
I don't want to pick on him, Butchie. But it was just like, come on, man.
I'm not going to sell him out.
Okay, I'm going to sell him out now. Come on, really? Really? And then he responded kind of, it was a nice response, and it wasn't crappy or anything, but it was just, because he's a good dude, but it was just like, come on.
I love needling him. It's a lot of fun.
Stop. Stop this. You're too smart of a football guy to write stuff like that.
The ball is still trickling through the end zone. It's like, the Bucks were lucky. Like, really? Did you not watch the
line. Well, you didn't have your line. You lost. They beat you.
You almost lost to Baker frickin' Mayfield in your own house.
You know what? Be on the end of a shellacking by the Niners as a Broncos fan, or be on the wrong end of the Seattle game where it goes wrong from play one when the ball gets hiked into the end zone over Manning's head.
I don't even count that as sadness. That's in the Super Bowl. Go 0-16. And then come see me.
Then come see you. See, and that's where I'm from. My team's been to Super Bowls. And no offense,
my football sadness is losing in the Super Bowl.
Your football sadness is much, much deeper and more painful for you. And I understand that.
One man stole our team and took it to Baltimore.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you did get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call my office at that point.
You did get there and you did lose.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But
you know how unfair it was to make us play that game 2 weeks later?
I know. It's like, what?
When were they going to play it?
That's why I said they got to play it in March.
Right.
I mean,
Roger Goodell.
When everybody's healthy.
Eric Fisher.
We can't play when our team's hurt.
It's doctor's meeting.
Isn't that part of navigating the choppy waters of an NFL season?
Roger Goodell's reading the MRI. No, I don't think we can play this week.
Well, remember the Packers won the Super Bowl and they had like half their roster was on injured reserve.
They used like 100 guys that year.
Yeah. You didn't hear them crying about it.
Because they won.
So we got one from RJ and Delta very quickly here. Jim, I was surprised the way the Steelers came back and beat the Bills in Buffalo. A good cover song is Grace Potter and Joe Satriani covering Cortez the Killer, the great Neil Young tune, Cortez the Killer. Ken, tell Butchie I said hi. Good to hear from you, Ken. Okay. Sorry. But when you put it out there on Facebook, Butchie, it's going to,
When you win on a fluke rule, you can't call another team lucky.
Stop that. Yeah, stop.
12 months, the entire year of 2021, you're not allowed to call anybody else lucky.
Okay, just a couple of quick ones here from this day in sports history.
Yes.
Let's go. 1986, Chicago's Walter Payton rushes for 177 yards to reach the 15,000-yard plateau and scores his 100th career rushing touchdown as the Bears beat the Philadelphia Eagles 13-10. 91, freshman Marshall Faulk of San Diego State rushes for an NCAA record 386 yards and scores 7 touchdowns in his second college game. Faulk sets an NCAA record for most rushing touchdowns in a game by a freshman as the Aztecs beat Pacific 55-34. Got a chance to see him play against the CSU Rams on a very cold day at Hughes Stadium a long time ago. Also on this day, 2003, Jamal Lewis rushes for an NFL record 295 yards and 30 carries in Baltimore's 33-13 win over your Browns. Sorry, Buckeye. All right, 9:43. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on Mav Day on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Colorado Mesa sports on Mav Day on the Jim Davis Show.
With us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, she's the coach of the CMU Triathlon Teams. Kinsey Lane joins us. Kinsey, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on to talk about your first season as the Mavericks triathlon coach. Swim coach Mickey Winder was the triathlon coach, and you guys have switched chairs. You're now the head coach, and Mickey is your assistant. But I know your team competed against Black Hills State, and you had the seven of the top eight finishers. You also had a win against Black Hills State in the collegiate team scoring portion of the Southern Hills Triathlon. So you went to Hot Springs, South Dakota, and the Mavericks represented really well.
Yes, they did. They did excellent for their first race. We did not take the top spot there, but we had the next seven, which was great to see such a big portion of our team racing together and racing so close together. It'll take some of the pressure off once we get to these bigger races where we'll score just four people, that maybe our top four don't have to be just feeling that pressure and be on that day, because we have so many so close together that can kind of fill in that gap if someone's sick or injured or having an off day for any reason.
Should mention that at Hot Springs that Shannon Farron was your top finisher. She was she took third overall, second most among collegiate athletes in the sprint triathlon event. And so you also the freshman Torin Lackman, that was the women's 13-19 age group winner as well. So those two athletes had good performances at South Dakota.
Yes, yeah, it's worth noting that actually our top three finishers at that race a few weeks ago were all that was their first race representing CMU. For Shannon, she is a sophomore, but as you know, last year our fall season got canceled, and in the spring she participates in track, so she didn't do that race with us at Black Hills State in the spring last year. And so for all three of our top finishers in Hot Springs, it was their first race as a CMU triathlete. Really exciting.
CMU triathlete coach Kinsey Lane joining us on the program. We want to get to what's going on this weekend closer to home. You don't have to drive to South Dakota or any place. You just have to head out west to Highline Lake State Park at Aloma for the Desert's Edge Triathlon. Give us all the details about that coming up on Saturday.
Yes, so we'll participate in the sprint triathlon. There will be three different events happening that morning: an Olympic distance triathlon, an off-road triathlon, and a sprint distance triathlon. And we're doing the sprint distance, so that'll be a 750-meter swim, a 12-mile bike, and a 5K run. Starts at 8:30. Most of our athletes should be finished by 10 a.m., so short and sweet. Our entire roster will be racing at this event, all 15, so that will be exciting. Also, worth noting that for our six seniors on the team, for some of them, this event, their freshman year, was their first race as a CMU triathlete, and for some of them, this will be their final race as representing our team. So we have six seniors, and these are the first group of people that started here as freshmen and are finishing their 4 years as triathletes. This is only the fifth year that the program has existed, so this is our first group of seniors coming through.
Yeah, so they're part of the foundation of building the triathlon program at Colorado Mesa. Joining us on the program this morning, Kinsey Lane. She is the head coach of the CMU triathlete teams. Also, we want to mention, coming up on the 25th, you get to stay in town a little bit longer because you have the Gig Ledbetter Maverick Stampede, the cross-country event. Of course, Gig was the longtime cross-country coach at CMU, but that'll be at Lincoln Park. So you also have that coming up on the 25th.
Yes, that'll be a little bit out of our comfort zone. Obviously, one of the disciplines that they participate in is running, but for most of them, they are not standalone 5K runners. So a little bit out of our comfort zone, but with triathlon being such a new sport, we are allowed to participate in these single sport events and count it towards our minimum number of competitions. And so we're going to do that. We're going to hop in with the runners and see if we can hang on.
And should mention, I mean, we're talking about, you know, swimming and cycling and those kind of things too, that I know you're a swim coach up at University of Anchorage, Alaska, so you have some experience with that. But I mean, that's a real challenge of getting, you know, of being able to coach your athletes in these different disciplines.
Yes, I actually think it's more exciting for sure. It's more fun. You know, we get to do any one of these three, and if people are injured, typically they can do. You know, they can still swim or still ride if they have a running injury. It's a lot more like playing. You know, we get to go outside and explore the monument on our bikes and run on these different trails. And I think that variety helps with burnout, helps people stay interested. It's also a sport that they can do for the rest of their lives. You know, they don't need a team in order to keep doing this. So hopefully for all of them, their 4 years here is just the beginning and just a stepping stone to a very long triathlon career.
Well, you should mention too that with the Desert's Edge Triathlon coming up at Highline Lake State Park on Saturday, public can attend, correct? They can go out and watch the competition.
Yes. Spectators are allowed, and it actually is a community event, so we will be racing against other people in the community. There won't be any other college teams there, so it'll just be us racing against each other. I think it is still a very important event for our team. The results from this race, plus the results from the race in Hot Springs, will in large part determine the travel team when we go to the East Regional Qualifier next month in Virginia. So the pressure is still on for these women, and I think we're going to see some fast times.
Kenzie, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Best of luck rest of the season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Kenzie Lane, the coach of the CMU triathlon team. So Desert's Edge Triathlon coming up on Saturday. Once again, the public is invited out to Highline to watch that. All right, so coming up on tomorrow's program, busy show, Central coach Brandon Milholland. They have their showdown with Grand Junction coming up on Friday night here on the team. Fruita Monument coach Cam Ross will have Chatfield on Saturday. We'll talk Broncos with our Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke. Also, Brian Roth, voice of the CSU Rams, will join us on tomorrow's program as well. And also, Lionel McConnell, wide receiver for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow as well. All right, and it's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine, so don't forget to start thinking about your things to complain about, gripe about coming up tomorrow. Chance to win a bottle of Talon Wine from Talon Winery. Also, a quick reminder about Pyle Pigskin Pick'em. Go to our website to get signed up. Theteam1340.com must be 21 because we are now into week two of the NFL season with last night, of course, Monday Night Football wrapping up with the Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. All right. The Jim Davis Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. After a thrilling opening week to the NFL season, week two is here. The fridge is stocked. The recliner is ready. Now all you need to do is lock into FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right. FanDuel's giving all customers a risk-free bet for week two of the NFL season. Broncos right now, favored by 6 on the road at Jacksonville on Sunday. You can hear that game right here on the team starting at 9 o'clock. Check out all the different prop bets, same-game parlays, the over-unders. It's America's number one sports book for a reason, because number one, they give you fast payouts. You get your money back in as soon as 24 hours, plus the app is really easy to use. Use FanDuel Sportsbook on any week two game. Bet the money line or take the over. Throw some action on a prop bet or build a same game parlay bet. There are so many ways to win. And new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with the promo code KTMM to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That promo code is KTMM. 21 and older, present in Colorado, first online real money wager. Only refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. 4700. All right, see you back here tomorrow. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we'll have Central Fertile Monument softball. Pregame starts at 6:45 on the team.